The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Paranormal. This is the first day of spring. The pagans say Ostara or Osara or whatever. You know, I'll tell you about pagans. They get all pissy if you mispronounce something, you know, or they laugh at you. Because, like, you know, they have this knowledge and then you're just like this inferior turd who's trying to say something. So good. People have a thirst for knowledge. I never put somebody down who, like, mispronounces something, you know. I'll gently correct them, but never laugh in their face if they mispronounce. So don't be arrogant, you pagans. I'm saying Ostara. And then if you look for the pronunciation of words, like on YouTube, they have all those little things. Everybody says Ostara. Only one person said Osara. So whatever it is a holiday. It's the first day of spring, and that's when the sun god gets together with the lady on the earth here, and then boom, they do their thing, and it's represented by a rabbit and an egg, and then they, you know, they do what rabbits do. And then 9 months later, that lady becomes like Mother Earth and all that, and the great mother, the whole bit. So this is the deal. We're going to talk about soulmates tonight because I think it's a good time to talk about soulmates. It is the beginning of spring, the beginning of newness, the beginning. A lot of people, the babies in the spring and, you know, spring love, springtime love. Everybody that's out there happy. So we're going to celebrate happiness and we're going to celebrate soulmates and all that stuff. So aside from that, I want to start off with a prayer. Of good energy, a prayer of good energy for California, specifically California. There is just so much of this negative stuff coming on out of there, like something's taken over, right? And it's not the people. I love California. I love the people of California. I love the climate. I love everything about California except for the pollution, stuff like that. But I will tell you, I don't love the negativity. I don't love the angry, this just, you know, unbelievable anger coming out of there, because energy demands energy. Every action demands a reaction. So when you look at California and you say, you know, this minority of angry voices has taken over for the whole state and they're putting it out there, because of that, I feel like you can attract bad things that will come at you. And then whatever those bad things are, you know, natural, man-made, whatever, I don't know, man, it's just bad. And just like in life, as you live your life, if you want to be positive, you know, you hang around positive people, you don't let that negative, you know, demon get a hold of you. Don't allow it to happen. You don't get sucked into it. You don't sink down to that level. But I want to say a prayer for California because they need it. The people there need it. You send them good energy, you know. And I know you guys out there, you're energy people, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't even be listening to the show. So you send that good energy and you hope for the best. And then you pray for people out there. Yeah, you got to pray for the whole country, the whole world, you know. It's, you know, it's happy day. For the UN, like they declared this day today, a day of happiness and whatever. As I was reading it earlier and thinking about it, I was feeling like, you know, man, it's hard to be happy when you're poor. It's hard to be happy if you're a child growing up in any kind of situation where you're eating rats and drinking mud water. You know, there's a lot of countries that have abject poverty. So I think of that. Whenever I think of somebody, hey, you should be happy and whatever. Yeah. How about be thankful for the things that you have because you could very easily not have those things. And how about you reach out to those communities around the world and truly help them instead of, you know, give money to their warlord and let the warlord build another mansion. So I believe that we owe it to each other as people to be happy and help each other be happy, or at least content. Content is a good word. You know, content is content. Nobody can be happy all the time. People are up, people are down, the whole bit. So when it comes to energy, I'm going to say this. And also dating and people that we meet. And it comes to soulmates. There's different types of soulmates. Some say there's 3 or 4. I'm going to discuss some of the different types of soulmates that you might run into in this world. So, of course, a soulmate is somebody that you basically were with in a previous life or had an impact on you in a previous life. You have to believe in multiple lives if you're going to believe in the concept of soulmate, okay? 2 people that were either together or destined to be together. And I'll tell you this, I've met some soulmates in my life, and it's when you meet somebody that's like that, you feel this familiar, comfy type of feeling that they know you. They know you and you know them, and you have no problem letting down your guard. I'm a very guarded person. You know, I was raised that way. I was raised in a situation that I had to be that way. So I play my cards very close to my chest. I don't tell anybody anything unless I need to tell them. It's a need-to-know basis, and I don't flaunt or put a lot of stuff out there that could, you know, that could ever be picked apart by people that would want to do me harm or whatever in this world. Does that make sense? So, you know, I think in life, everybody needs to have degrees of that and not be paranoid. You know, when it comes to people, I trust people once. I give you my trust once. You let me down, you lie to me, you do something, I'm going to know something about you. I'm not going to trust you ever again because I know the capability of that person. This way, I don't get let down the next time they bullcrap me, or the time after, or the time after, you know. And some people are toxic and poison, and you got to stay away from that. You know, that negativity will drag you down. Dealing with people with all kinds of those issues, you want to be able to help the ones you love, but you don't also don't want people to drag you down. If they love you, they wouldn't want to drag you down, you know, but it sucks up your energy. So soulmates are comfy, are nice, and I'm going to discuss all the points that if you think you've met your soulmate, these are the 10 elements of a soulmate, right? So let's dig in, man. Number one, it's something inside. Describing how a soulmate makes you feel is difficult. It's a tenacious, profound, and lingering emotion which no words can encompass. And that's true because it's like a connection. It is a connection. It's like maybe another part of you, you know? You're just like, oh, of course. A good soulmate can finish your sentences, you know, like you feel each other in that way. You have an unbelievable amount in common. And it just goes without saying, like, of course, you know, like it's taking like a fish to water. Like, of course, it's literally the key that fits into the lock that other keys didn't fit. So I think that, you can't put some things into words. Yeah, and there's a lot of times you might say that, like, and I'm a wordsmith. I love words. I can put anything into words, but sometimes you can't put things into words. It's just a feeling. You know, sometimes when you're with that soulmate, you look into their eyes, you don't even have to say anything. Because it's that feeling that goes back and forth, right? So that something inside you can't describe. How about this one? Flashbacks. If your partner is your soulmate, chances are he or she has been present in your past lives. Soulmates often choose to come back together during the same lifetime and scope, well, the next lifetime, right? And scope each other out in the big world. You might suddenly and briefly experience flashbacks of your soulmate. You might even feel an odd sense of deja vu if the moment in time has already taken place, perhaps a long time ago, perhaps in a different setting. So now deja vu, me personally, I have deja vu all the time. And a good friend of mine, the psychic David Starr back in Brooklyn, said deja vu means basically everything's going the right way. And it's really philosophical when you think about the implications of deja vu itself. You know, is it a slice of time that you're reliving? Is it something that was a future memory that you already had that you're thinking of? You know, there's deja vu and there's flashbacks of past lives. Some people say they've met themselves in a weird way. They passed themselves on the street as that person was older, you know, and that sounds crazy to a normal person to say, that's really weird, man. But when it comes to energy, we don't know enough about energy to even start to understand it. That's what I've studied energy all my life. And I could tell you that people don't know anything about energy. And we can talk for show after show after show about dark energy, dark matter, all that stuff, right? So energy is something that we're just starting to nibble on as a people and study as a people, and we still don't know even a little bits of it, what it means, even in the world of physics. And there's so many physics people out there. I talk to a lot of physics professors because I'm here at Ithaca or Cornell Universities, and every time they have some seminar up there, I run up there to pick people's brains or ask some questions or whatever, and then learn, you know, learn from people that are out in the field doing different things. And for me, as a backyard scientist, I eat that stuff up a lot. But theoretical science is a big deal, and you have to be able to theorize. You have to be able to think about what if, what could be, you know, what if we try this or go in that direction, and then that's how you discover, you know, that's how you discover. So I believe that flashbacks happen with people from the past, not just deja vu. A deja vu is more of, hey, I know I've been here before. I've had a deja vu where I was able to finish my sentence before I finished my sentence, that I knew what I was going to say before it came out of my mouth. I knew what the other people were saying before it came out of their mouth. Now that's deja vu. But flashbacks to another time, another place, you're more likely to experience that in dream state, especially like those twilight dreams, or just before you wake up, you know, or you wake up from the dream. It's like your spirit travels, and then you're in that place. And if you think of the paranormal world as being a basket full of numbers rather than being a timeline full of numbers, you can reach into that basket and reach and take out any of those numbers that you want at any time. It's more of like your computer and your desktop and being able to access files than having to watch a movie of what's happening. So if you think of life as that movie, and then these little slivers of moments as that basket full of numbers, you can see how things start coming together. And then there's, you know, I mean, like, I dream of future civilizations all the time. And I can describe it, I can write it out or whatever. I don't know the people. I've never been there as far as I've ever known. And it's just dreams, right? What your brain does when you're asleep, for whatever reason, it's not like I sit there and watch a bunch of sci-fi movies, you know, and get into all that. In fact, I'm really not in the world of fiction. I'm more, you know, I like the real world. And I don't know, it's weird when your brain goes in that direction. But you know those dreams that you wake up to and they stick with you for days, weeks, months. And then, man, you felt like you're in a different place, you know. So flashbacks can happen while you're awake. Flashbacks can happen while you're asleep. And most likely the flashback with your soulmate is going to happen when you're engaging them, saying something or whatever, because you're going to hit on certain words or certain terms or certain emotions or certain feelings. They're going to take you back. And then those flashbacks could happen. And then you may even have flashbacks at the same time, because people have reported that, right? So how about number three? You just get each other. You get each other. Ever meet two people who finish each other's sentences? We talked about that. Some people call that spending too much time together, but I call it a soulmate connection, right? You might experience it with your best friend or your mother. There's a lot of people that said that they knew their parents in their past lives. You know, there's Lou Gehrig, right, was a famous baseball player, and he passed away. Lou Gehrig's disease, as a matter of fact. There's this kid that claims he was Lou Gehrig. And he told his mother at an early age, when he was like 5 or 6, you know, because I've been studying these kids that say they knew themselves in their past lives. And there's a lot of scientists out there studying these kids and following them. And the research is amazing. Amazing, right? This kid said he was Lou Gehrig. He actually told his mom he was a famous baseball player and he died of this horrible disease, whatever, as he described it. You know, she showed a picture of him to the kid. He said, yeah, that was me. And then he said that you're my mom in that life. So think of the concept alone. Kid's an amazing baseball player. There's no reason for that child to make up these things. No reason that child, for his active imagination, to come up with times and names and dates and all that. There are our kids who went to the village that they lived in, pointed at, you know, this one kid pointed at this woman, said, that was my wife. Showed investigators where he was buried, said that he was killed by a man with an axe. The kid had a birthmark on top of his head in the shape of an axe. And then they found the skeleton in the ground with the axe in its head. You don't make that up. That's not some of the things you just make up on the top of your mind when you're a kid. So I believe in that. I believe totally that we experience these things. And then when you're with your soulmate, I mean, you know, like they're made for you, you know. And then, like I said about finishing sentences and all that, it's just a given. And it's kind of funny, but that's the way it goes. All right, number four, you fall in love with his or her flaws. So not just what you love about them that's great, but also their little flaws, the little stuff that they might do that is kind of cute to you, but whatever. So no relationship is perfect, and even soulmate relationships will experience ups and downs. Still, the bond will be much harder to break. Soulmates have an easier time of accepting and learning to love each other's imperfections. Your relationship is more likely to be a soulmate match if you both love each other exactly as you each are, accepting both the great and awful tendencies we all have. Like, I was talking to a friend earlier, and I'm like, looking at these bald guys on the Weather Channel. And then I start getting this discussion online about bald men, right? What if women like the look, you know? And, you know, there's a lot of statistics out there saying that most women don't like men that are shaved bald, but there is something virile about it, I guess. And then, you know, there's a lot of psychological stuff going on with that bald head. But I said, if you love someone, doesn't matter what they bald or there's some hair, or, you know, it just matters that they're that person and you're there for them and they're there for you. So whatever flaws, you know what? They're a little too thick, a little too thin, a little too tall, a little too short. None of that matters to somebody who is a soulmate, to somebody who truly loves you. None of that stuff matters, you know? And I think it's important in our world that we understand that not everything has to be materialistic. Not everything has to be all, you know, with your looks also, and people getting lip injections, women, these women that get lip injections and butt injections a lot, you know what? They look like aliens, man. You know, I think that they don't look good. They don't look natural. And you have to question someone's mentality for even wanting to do something like that to themselves. You know, low self-esteem or whatever they think that it is. How about just be yourself? So I got into this conversation about boobs a long time ago. And basically it was somebody who was looking to get bigger boobs. And I said, you know what? A guy's going to like you because of you, not because of the size of your boobs. You know what I mean? It's like people that go undergo the knife, you know, and then a lot of women say, well, it's their self-esteem. It helps with their self-esteem. You know what? How about, you know, read, help with your self-esteem? Like, you know, self-help. Get out there. Become a better person in society. Volunteer. You want to help, you know, get help with your self-esteem. That's what you do. If you're trying to impress someone that only cares about big boobs and you put, give yourself some big boobs, fake boobs, really? Is that what you really need to do? Because that's pretty bad. You don't want to be with someone like that. Anyway, and that rant, number five, it's intense. A soulmate relationship may be more intense than normal relationships in both good and sometimes bad ways. The most important thing that that even during negative episodes, you're focused on resolving the problem and can see beyond the bad moment. Of course, because you know that you want to be together. And a relationship is a battle. It can be anyway. It's it doesn't have to be a negative battle, but it's a give and take because you have two people who both need things. Sometimes you need the same things. Sometimes you need different things. And you have to respect your partner's needs. And they have to respect your needs, too. So if it's unbalanced, that's when things get wobbly and all start falling apart. And then respect goes a long, long, long way. And also understanding each other, right? So that intensity, especially with lovemaking and passion, is explosive. So when two soulmates connect, they can really plug into one another because you have that familiar feeling, you have that comfy feeling, and then you can just let yourself go. And once you let yourself go, that's when that intensity happens, right? And number six, it's you two against the world. Soulmates are together in life and in death, right? Soulmates often see their relationship as us against the world. They're a team, you know? They feel so linked together that they're ready and willing to take on any feat of life so long as they have their soulmate by their side. Soulmate relationships are founded on compromise and unity above all else. So you got to work together. Okay? That's what we were just talking about, working together as a team. Very important to understand that. And you can't be all closed off. You can't be emotionally unavailable. If you're with your soulmate, you're not going to want to be closed off. The only times people get closed off is when they get attacked enough to close themselves off, you know, or their closet cases to begin with, and that type of thing. That's something completely different. Even that closet case, if they meet their soulmate, it's something completely different. So number seven, you're mentally inseparable. Soulmates often have a mental connection similar to twins. They might pick up the phone to call each other at the exact same time. Though life may keep you apart at times, your minds will always be in tune if you are soulmates. And isn't that the case? Like you have that connection where you feel the other person. You feel them. And if you look into quantum physics, right, which acts as exact opposite of our realm of physics, our macro. And we're talking about the micro. We're macro, we're living right now. And then there's micro physics, and that micro level is completely opposite of our level. And micro level, you know, energy can travel hundreds of miles in seconds, you know, particles and all that. It's amazing when you start getting into it. So that connection, I believe, is real. I believe it's a telepathic type of connection that people have. If you're separated from someone that you have so much love for, or, you know, separated in whatever way. I mean, we don't know how energy gets separated as energy goes into humans, right? As the birth process happens and whatever, there's very little to nothing known about it, other than what people say. A lot of these kids, in the past life kids, said that the last thing they remember is that they're hovering over their mother's bellies and they fell in there, that sucked right in. Imagine that. And they picked their parents, they chose their parents. Oh, this is what these kids said, just kids who remember their past lives. So I can tell you, I've had similar feelings when I was young, you know, and I know a lot of people that felt the same way. I mean, like I know a lot of people that when we were little kids, we used to talk about stuff like this, you know, and it's amazing that you kind of, around 7 or 8 years old, you kind of start getting away from those feelings of what your past life might have been. And then you just move on with your life, you know? So, but when it comes to soulmates, I think that there's a lot of people out there that are looking for their soulmate too, you know? And that's a big deal. And then maybe you're in a relationship and you can't get past that relationship because, or it doesn't work out because you're looking for a soulmate. So there's something to explore too. So number 8, you feel secure and protected regardless of the gender of your partner. He or she should always make you feel secure and protected. This means that if you're a man, yes, your woman should make you feel protected too. Your soulmate will make you feel like you have a guardian angel by your side. A person who plays on your insecurities, whether consciously or subconsciously, is not your soulmate. Let me read that again. A person who plays on your insecurities, whether consciously or subconsciously, is not your soulmate. So somebody that will use those things that they know about you that maybe cause weakness, your weaknesses and whatever. And people are out there that do that, man. And it's a terrible, nasty, mean thing to do to people. So that's something that person should think about if they do it. If someone's doing it to you, it's something that you need to think about and be able to balance yourself against that type of thing. But your soulmate, your real soulmate, is not going to do that to you, right? Number 9, you can't imagine your life without him or her. A soulmate is not someone you can walk away from that easily. It is someone you can't imagine being without, a person you believe is worth sticking with and fighting for. That's the deal. You're a team. You're together. You know, you come after me, you come after my whole family. You know what I mean? And that's what it is, being there for somebody, that loyalty, that honor, that courage, that respect, and sickness and health. It doesn't matter if there's some disease or cancer or whatever. How many of these Hollywood stars do we see that leave the people that they're married to because they have cancer or whatever? I've seen that time and time again. You know, it's like, how could you leave someone in the middle of something like that? I mean, my mom, you know, just got done with her last chemo session. And then it's like, how could you not take care of somebody that you love, that you care about? It doesn't have to be, you know, some soulmate, you know, person that is spouse that you're with or whatever. It could be a friend or whatever. I can't imagine abandoning people that you love. And I can't imagine, you know, abusing that type of thing. But there's people out there that would readily do that. There's people out there that would do that, and you have to understand that those aren't good people, you know? And I hear from people all the time, they're in bad relationships, and they're kind of fishing around for advice. And well, like, I could give you some advice, you know? I mean, like, it really comes down to the person in a situation. And I just say, make a list of things that you like, make a list of things that you don't like, and then get rid of the stuff that you don't like and stick with the stuff that you like. It's that simple. But when you have a soulmate, you are a team. You are together. You can't imagine them without your life. You can't imagine going on without them. And that's why there are people, this is guys talk to, right? Yeah, Carl Sagan's father-in-law, I talk about him once in a while. His name is Harry. He died a couple years back. And so I go to these events up at Cornell. I'd run into him there, and I ran to him in other capacities, too. And we started talking. We, you know, he loves science. I love science. So it was just fun talking to the guy because, like I mentioned earlier about theoretical science, you know, when you click with someone and you're having this amazing conversation, you're laughing, you start laughing so hard, your sides are hurting, you're crying, you know, because there's so much cool stuff in science. And it's not all serious or dogmatic or anything like that. You have to be able to imagine, and you have to be able to think outside the box. You have to be able to let your spirit soar. So now he loved his wife. His wife died, you know, a little before him, and they're both just amazing people who, you know, who, I mean, this guy lived his life. The very first time I met him, he's, here's my accent, and he's like, you know, you're from Long Island. I like pegs it right away, because he was from the city, and then I was like, yep, he asked me where I was from. I said, Rockville Center. So he looks at me with this wistful grin, and he said, George's Bakery. Just like that, right? George's Bakery. And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, like, I haven't heard, you know, George's Bakery for a million years. There was a bakery in my town when I was growing up, you know, basically in the 70s. I can still tell you to this day, the way the place smelled, the way the screen door hit in the back as you went in, you know, just the whole feel of the place. And it's amazing that somebody can say something like that and tap those memories, and automatically you've got this relationship because the two of you have experienced these things in the past, you know? And he was a great person. I mean, we used to talk about fourth dimensional space and, you know, I mean, fourth dimensional energy and that type of thing, and, you know, all kinds of stuff, even black holes, the whole bit, event horizons, and, you know, dark matter, like I said, you know, dark matter, dark energy, you know, all that stuff. And that's kind of like a connection that you have, like a soulmate connection, in a weird way that, you know, you're very familiar with that person. And it's not because of anything that you're saying in the here and now, it's because of the things that you share. So a true soulmate, like a real soulmate in relationship-wise, you're going to share stuff with that person, you know? And you're going to feel them in your heart. It's going to be like bursting. So when that person dies, you can't go on. And like with my Uncle Henry and Aunt Nori, they were soulmates. They were married for over 60 years. That's a long time, you know, a long time. Uncle Henry was a scientist, you know, and his wife was a homemaker. And then when Aunt Nori died, she coughed once, died. That was it. Wasn't even sick, nothing. Coughed once, died. And then he died 6 months later. He couldn't go on without her. And then he wanted to go be with her. And I felt that. I knew that. I felt that, you know? So, number 10. You look into each other. You look each other in the eye. Soulmates have a tendency to look into each other's eyes when speaking more often than ordinary couples. It comes naturally from the deep-seated connection between them. Looking a person in the eye when speaking denotes a high level of comfort and confidence. So, I do that all the time. Me personally, I look at people in the eye. A lot of people hate that. they don't want to make the eye contact for some reason, but I'm an eye contact type of person. You know, It's a connection, right? When you look someone in the eye and you kind of step into them and, you know, if two guys are getting together, they shake their hands. A lot of women don't understand about the handshake and, you know, that whole big dog routine between guys. You know, humans are very primitive still. Come on, look at us. You know, we haven't even made any advancements in the world of toilet paper in bathrooms, a bidet, it sounds silly. You know, it's about evolving. So when I think of a soulmate, I think of someone that just kind of yin and yang. It fits right in without any question, nothing. You know, you communicate on a level that most people can't even understand unless they too have a soulmate. Is it bad if you don't meet a soulmate and hook up with them and be with them forever? You know, does it mean that there's no soulmate out there? Does it mean they're not looking for you? You know, this is a world of variables. I think anything could happen at any time. You can talk to some people saying that this is already written and we're kind of just living it. And then what happens is it's all planned out. I'm not a huge believer in that. I like to, I like to think about stuff like that. I like to think that, okay, I'm in control of my own destiny, you know, but are we really? Especially when you're limited of choices, you're kind of just floating in a certain place, you know, if you're limited of choices. So I think that humans are very limited when it comes to a lot of stuff. And let's face it, we have never explored all the ocean. We don't even have the technology to explore the South Pole properly. So until we can explore our own backyard and start helping each other progressively, help each other's civilizations grow without talking about war. If you look at all the money that all these countries spend, including ours here in the United States, on weapons alone, I mean, it's disgusting how people are living in poverty and eating rats and drinking mud water and all the terrible things that come along with poverty. It's disgusting that there's so much money out there just being spent on weapons of destruction, of murder, that we turn a blind eye to the needy, you know? And that's a statement of humanity. You want to talk about aliens and all that and people observing our world? That's what they see. But there are candles out there, little bits of light that love others and help others and don't look the other way when it comes to the needy and love with all their heart and soul, you know? So those are the people that we need. So I'm going to talk about the three types of soulmates that you might run into, okay? The first kind of soulmate is the romantic kind that you aren't meant to be with forever, but that delivers powerful lessons. These soulmates tend to be the most influential teachers in our lives. They're the ones that provide the heartache, the ones that don't work out and aren't meant to work out. They're the ones to help you get from point A to point B and make sure that you learn the lessons that you need to in life, right? So, you know, you have that relationship, and oh my God, I can't believe you left. I'm going to die. Oh, please, please, I'm going to die. Everybody's been through that. Most, you know, if you're over a certain age, you've been through that type of heartache. Maybe I think that most people have that sense of loss. And depending how that loss happened, I mean, you know what? There's all kinds of negative energy that can fit in and what we learn from it. So I believe in that. I believe that there are people that kind of just, they'll come, they'll go, and you'll punch in your gut, make you think about it twice, but yet you shared such a passionate love, or so you thought. Or yeah, you know? It doesn't mean that love dies or goes away. It just means that it transforms its energy, right? So the second type of soulmate is one that allows you to be your true self and who stays with you forever. Ah, yeah, there you go. When you're with the person you're meant to be with, they don't bring out your insecurities again. They actually make them go away. They bring out the best in you, not the worst. And you say to yourself, oh, this person's so wonderful. Makes you want to be better. You know? It makes you want to do better stuff for yourself to do better stuff for them. You and your partner are both happy with your true selves, and together you make each one even happier In this ideal scenario, when you're together, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2, it equals 3. Ooh. So I believe in that, man. I think that, as I talked about in all the 10 points of the soulmate, you know, you click, you have that connection, you boot right up to that person. And then it's like putting on an old pair of shoes, you know, in a weird way. You know what I mean? Put on that old pair of shoes. It feels good. It feels comfortable. It's right. That shoes have done miles with you, understands things about you. And then they're going to understand things about you on that level and would never play that against you, would never use it to hurt you. And you would never do that to somebody else. You would never take their insecurities or any of that and use that. I mean, I talk to a lot of people that cite that when the end of their relationships, you know, what was used against them. I see it. One of my friends that went through a terrible divorce, he's there for his kids, and he's like father of the year to me, man, every year. I mean, I see what he does. He's always in court fighting his ex-wife. One of my school friends, and he's an amazing person. He was then. He is now. He'll always be. He's there for his parents. He's there for his family. He's there for his kids. He's proud of his kids. He would spend his last penny in his pocket doing something nice for his children or taking them somewhere or being there. He's trying to get more time with his kid. His ex-wife, she played every dirty game in the book against him, you know, let the house fall into rears. I mean, you know, where he had to leave the apartment he was in, get a cheaper apartment just to pay the extra money back to the mortgage company and save the house that his kids live in, you know. And there's a lot of stuff going on in that woman's life that's questionable, that even if she should be around those kids, you know. And you see this guy fighting and fighting and fighting and always going to court and fighting and fighting and fighting. And then she's just using everything against him she could possibly use. And when people do that, they strike a blow below the belt, really. When you tell somebody in confidence a tender moment, a story, they're supposed to take that as like, wow, you trusted me with that information. And, you know, I love you even more for that. And I understand you even better. Not use it like a dagger and stab somebody in the heart. It's too much of that in the world. It's ugly, you know. Why would you want to do something like that? How about you just live your life and try to improve other people's lives? You know, the definition of a lady or a gentleman is somebody who wants to make the people around them feel more comfortable. You know, and we need more gentlemen and ladies in this world. So the third type we're going to discuss, third type of soulmate, is a platonic friend with whom you are always connected to and feel you can share your innermost thoughts and emotions. But there's no romance and definitely no sex. We all have these good friends. In fact, most of us have experienced many of them in our lifetime. They're the people who you haven't seen or spoken to in weeks, months, or years. But whenever you do see them or speak to them, you pick up where you left off as if neither of you had missed a beat. They're also the ones who you connect with very deeply and frequently for a period in your life. Sometimes the two of you grow apart, or someone moves away or has a new life event that distances you. Other times, you'll remain lifelong close friends, even if you see each other only once or twice a year. I have that relationship with my friend Art. I tell you, man, I met Art in 1984. Yeah. 1984, maybe even 1983, somewhere around there. So, really great guy. He was really into martial arts, still is. Jeet Kune Do, Bruce Lee style. We had that in common immediately. But more important, we had the spiritualness in common, you know? And I know that I can call him anytime I want, and we'll just pick up where we were. And then, you know, when I lived on Long Island, because he lives in Queens, we hung out all the time. He lived in an area called Far Rockaway. Hung out all the time. Sometimes till 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, we'll be out there, you know, on a porch. with some other people, whatever, talking about spirituality. And a lot of the kids in that neighborhood, the neighborhood had, you know, a lot of crime, a lot of problems. You know, a lot of these kids were abandoned by their parents. And a lot of those kids would stop by, sit down on the porch and just, you know, talk with us, you know. And I was young, too. I wasn't like some elder, you know, and Art's 10 years older than me. But, you know, he had experience in life. And then this other guy, Willie, was there, who also had experience. And this other guy, Godfrey, you know, it was cool, man, because it was a bond. And anybody who came by felt that bond, that felt that love, felt that energy. So I had lost contact with Art. I moved upstate. You know, life happens, things happen, but then the internet happened. And then I became a private investigator. And basically, as a PI, I have everybody's phone number. You know, there's really no hiding from the fact that I can't find you. You know, I pride myself in finding people within minutes, let alone hours or a day. If a client says, I'm looking for so and so, you know, how many weeks is it going to take you to find it? Like, weeks? What do you want me to do? It's easy, though, if you know how to do it. I guess it's easy. Whatever. So I called Art, and I was like, hey. I'm like, hey, man, this is a blast from the past. Give me a call. And he called me back, and we got this amazing conversation, man, and just, you know, it took hours. Catching up people from, you know, from Rockaway and all, and what happened to so-and-so and that whole bit, right? Really cool, man. So then, like, I was in bed one night. It was, I don't know how long, it was 10 years ago, right? In bed, and I'm looking at this show, flipping around the channels, and then I flip on the show, Law and Order. And I see this really good-looking black dude, like really good. I'm like, and I said to myself, I'm like, you know, that's my friend Art. I'm like, that guy could be Art's twin. That's crazy. And then, because he was a SWAT team guy and the whole bit, it turns out that was Art. It turns out that he started acting. It turns out he was in Sex and the City and Law and Order, a whole bunch of movies with Robin Williams and all that. I'm blown away, man. But this is the dude that I used to wake up every day. And I was a late riser. I was a nighttime person. I still am, but way worse back then when I was young. You know, so, I mean, and most of the jobs I had were nighttime jobs, the club business, that type of stuff. So, you know, you don't even go into work until like 7 o'clock, you know, whatever. But I wake up around noon. Art also did his nighttime thing, and we'd be hanging out all night, like I said. He'd get up and do it. So we'd call each other. I call him, or he called me. And we would watch this workout chick, Denise Austin. You know, both flipped to the channel. And then that was basically waking up. A wake and bake with Denise Austin. And he'd be like, Mike, look what she's doing now. I'm like, ooh. That is a soulmate. That's somebody who's there. You understand, they understand you understand them. You're in the zone, you know? It's beautiful that spiritual connection is there. And I know that any time I can call him and we can have a deep spiritual conversation, the same for him, and we get each other, you know? I don't even have to explain anything. And, you know, 1985, 1984, think about it. You're talking about decades of a good friendship and, you know, you love, he's my brother. You love your brother. You know, I also became very good friends with his two brothers. So, I don't know. When it comes to meeting people in the world, you need to cultivate those relationships, you know, no matter what they are, even with your soulmate. But the thing, the soulmate is more like just, you know, fitting in perfectly. Bang, it's there already. You know it's there already. No doubt about it. It's in your mind. You're there. It's in your heart. It's in your soul. You know, it's there, the other part of you. And it's something that you don't ever want to lose once you have it. I'll say that. So I'm going to end the show on that note of love for y'all. This is Michael Angley on Discovery Paranormal. This is going to be available on YouTube also. So check that out. And always go to youtube.com/discoveryparanormal. Check out our videos, paranormal videos and all that. And then, of course, we are on UPRN, United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Past Christian. And I'm going to say goodnight to you all.
This Friday, Romeo and Juliet are back in theaters.
Us?
With a twist on another classic tale.
Sherlock.
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 And Sherlock Gnomes.
You'll fall head over heels.
Oh! I'm okay.
For the biggest little comedy ever known.
Oof, that was super cheesy.
Sherlock Gnomes. Friday, rated PG.
Hey, guys, are you ready for the Kids' Choice Awards? Host John Cena's bringing the slime, your favorite stars, and a can't-miss performance by NERD. It's all going down live Saturday at 8, 7 Central on Nickelodeon.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.